connecting with God, with one another, and with his word, and we need it all. It's essential. So with that, I'm not going to take too much. I'm definitely not preaching, not bringing a message, but I want to interview a couple people, actually, just about, you know, what Heather was saying. Is like, it's essential that we gather. We are not here out of rebellion. We are not here out of rebellion, but we're out of need of God and of obedience to God. And Heather and myself are here to see people succeed. And from what I've heard, our church is doing so good that, and we have not shut down at all. We don't plan to. And if we did lose, we'll go somewhere. We'll build a barn like fast too. Fast we will. We will not stop. We will not stop. We cannot, because we want to see people succeed. My heart is to see you succeed. And that is through Christ only and him alone. So I want to, you know, and I actually interviewed a couple people a few weeks ago. We didn't have the recording, but I'm going to call just on a couple people and who I touched base with before, you know, one of the ones is Kim, and I'm going to put Kim on the, She didn't know again. I don't like to tell people, and just, you know. But Kim, can you come up here just quickly? Kim. So, yeah, Kim is now actually helping with the children's church, which tomorrow is Sunday at 3, you know. But Kim just recently came to us, and I'm just going to just ask you a few questions, but... you know, so what led you here to the harvest?
God.
And when was it?
About 5 weeks ago.
5 weeks. Someone invited you?
Yes. Okay.
So what was your experience with God and with church before that?
I knew God. I was spiritual. I had been born again probably about grade 7, which was a long time ago. And I had fallen off the wagon. For a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. Like at least 30 years.
30 years.
At least.
So you hadn't been to church in?
How long?
Probably about 35 years.
Okay. And so what, so something had happened before that, you had lost your job.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I was going to protest. And I got fired for going to a protest.
Wow. I want to ask a question. I saw you up here tonight.
Yeah.
What's going on? What was going on? Can you tell us? Can you share?
God has really moved in my life. It was the second time that I've gotten my spouse to come, and he's really moved in his life. As well. And I was really close to my grandma, and she is the one that I went to church with. And she's here. She's here. So,
Wow. Wow. And so now, you're helping Lauren upstairs with the kids. I went up there last. It was a gong show. It was chaos.
It was. We learned a very valuable lesson. Do not give children hot chocolate.
Sugar. Yeah. So it was a chaotic gong show, and we do need help. Actually, like we tell people, do not double dip. Don't come at night and then come tomorrow because we're out of space. Like, and we're getting pretty serious about that. We want to, but if you want to come, you can go upstairs and help children.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Wow. So that's awesome. Sunny, everyone, we just want to welcome Kim to the harvest, and she's, yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Anything else?
This place is so essential. It's so essential. I need this, and I know all of you need it.
Thank you, Kim. That's just awesome. Yeah. So fantastic. I want to call Thomas just quickly here. Thomas, and I know we're going to, I want to get to know the people. So I want to, in time, we're going to just have a few here because it, I know that, well, there's nothing on TV, but come on up here. Thomas, so how long have you been coming?
3 months.
Today. So how long have you been in church before that? Like,
I've had God in my life off and on. And I come from a really broken home. I saw a lot of evil as a kid. And I got mad at God, and I thought God forsake me because of a pastor, a priest. And I cast out God, and I just pretty much live my life accordingly. When I got here,
So how many years were you out of church?
30.
30 as well.
When I got here, I had no idea what was in store, but I was led here on a whim. It was a whim. I've been coming here for 5 years, and I've always liked it here.
Kelowna.
And God said, this is the time. You got to come here now. And I sold my stuff, put my stuff in storage, drove across the country on my own. I had no set route, no set agenda. I saw it.
From where?
Sarnia, Ontario. Wow. And then I met John JQ. And then I went to a group. I dressed like this. I went to a business group and on a Thursday morning. There's guys in track pants, flip-flops, shorts. And they're praying over people, and they're praying for sales. And I'm like, what is going on? And then the Holy Spirit touched my heart. A light came in me. And then I came to church, and then I got baptized, and I met some amazing people, and I'm here to serve Jesus, you, honor you. This is amazing. We need this. I need this. I mean, I would be dead right now. I wanted to die. Now I'm alive, and I'm alive.
Yeah,
you
are. Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you. Right on, Thomas. John JQ has brought, I don't know how many people here, just like, good for you, John, just a bunch. Yeah. Same with Benjamin at the back. I'm dumbfounded. I want to introduce Benjamin another time, but I will say that he is now in charge of security outside, and him and his wife Anna have come with their three children, and they brought a bunch of people too, and it's just like just so crazy, so good, and he's got a whole story. I want to get into that because I don't want to just like poke it tonight, because you got a story, because you were delivered out of a cult. Full 100%, like just like so. I love it when people come from communism or cults and stuff, and they come in, they're like, we like it here. Well, that's a good sign. Because they know what to look for. They're like, who, talk to me. Oh, we like this. We like this. It's just like, so good. Matthew, come on up here, Matthew. Matthew, and this is Christine Cloutier's son, and this is a guy who got baptized on December 31st. I'll be honest, when he asked me to be baptized, I said, so yeah, let's do that. I said, where? He goes, in the lake. I'm like, great, when? He goes, now. Isn't there snow outside? And it's just like, did I miss something? It's like, so he goes, well, you can wear a dry suit or what? They're like, I don't have one of those. So I went in, and of course, John Ashby, which is another one. You got to hear this guy's story. I'm just going to have to say, this guy was rescued not a whole long time ago. He was lit on fire by his brother, 80, 60% of his body burnt. gave his life to God, didn't know who God was. When they took the band-aids off 10 days later to change him, he was healed. So he's like, well, who healed me? Anyway, that's a whole nother. God's doing stuff, you guys. It's just like, but Matthew, before you came here, when was the last time you were in church?
When I was 18.
All right. 17, 18, 14, 15 years ago?
Yes, something like that. Wow.
So you came to our to our men's connections group at my house, and we where did we meet?
Poker game.
It was so funny when I said that on the Canadian Firewall. Barry Miracle texted me. He goes, "Hook a brother up. Where can I go to a poker game?" Anyway. And some of the guys go here, and it was just like, I got invited by a guy who says, are you unreligious? I said, yeah. He goes, well, you want to come meet some guys at a poker game? And just, so I go there, and he's, and all these guys, half of them, like, wouldn't darken the door of church, go to church. He goes, hey, everyone, this is Pastor Art. I'm like, ah. He goes, So you came to the Connections group, but what made you come to church, and how long ago was that?
Honestly, I was going through some hard times with my truck. I own an excavation company, and it started out with one repair, and next thing you know, I'm $14,000 into it, and I knew because I had been praying to God to help me with my business, and I had I was forecasting the winter, and I had no work, and I was praying to God, and I felt like it was getting attacked, so I started seeking mentorship and advice from Art, and I actually kind of stopped going, and then I started coming back, and
That was the Connections group. You hadn't even come to church yet.
No, not yet, and I knew as the more I was praying, the more I was getting attacked, so I was definitely pissing someone off, and God came to me and told me, basically, you have to pick. You're either going to be on my side or you're going to be against me. And so, to me, that was clear that I wanted to be on God's side, not even a doubt. So I came to church, and the first time I came to church, it was about 10 minutes in, we're worshiping, and I hear you're home. So to me, that just, yeah, hit it.
It's your home. And you had, in your past, you had, there was a large bar here, right? And you had been head doorman?
Yeah, I was head of security for a nightclub in town. Actually, short story, around those times, that's when we were having gang problems in Kelowna. They were coming from Vancouver trying to take over the territory. So I was forefront of a gang war and keeping people safe, and yeah.
Wow. But now, you're being prepared by the Lord for something that's going to take place in Kelowna.
That's right. I guess we can go back to when I was 18, I had a dream from God, and he came to my dreams, and I, like, never remember my dreams at all. So I have two dreams I remember, and very clear. The first one was, like, get ready, one day I will call upon you. And I shared with my mom, and I thought, you know, I don't know, what's this for, right? A few years later, I was 23, and I had another one. He said, be prepared. Now is not the time, but when I call upon you, you'll be part of a group of men to come fight for me. I don't think it was physically. I think it was more spiritually, but I think it's just all coming together.
It's so good. So good. And so he left the past and left 2020 behind on December 31st with the waters of baptism, and it was just amazing. And I'm just so excited, Matt, to have you here, just like, and so Matthew Cloutier, and isn't it exciting that God's bringing these younger men in and stuff? So the prodigals are coming home. So while he was sharing, he walked into my office, and I was on the North American Zoom call that we got going once a day for 21 days. And I walked in, and I said, Matt, come here. And I sat him down, and there's like 170 people on this Zoom call. And I told Matthew I said, look at this picture. And I threw in a screen share about him getting baptized just days earlier. And you know, because the enemy's just been after him. And he threw this money in the truck, then it gets stolen. While he's sitting at my chair, just about to share, I said, I want you to just encourage and pray for the prodigals. He gets a text from his partner. Our Bobcat and trailer just got stolen. Literally, while we're sitting there. And he goes like pale. And he shows me his phone, like, my Bobcat just got stolen from our company. And he just put it aside, put the phone down, and he just started to share a story and just talk and call the prodigals home. And just like, you know, I just couldn't believe the strength just to, you know, and so this is, I don't know what the enemy is going to throw at you or has, or, but you know what? Don't stop. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing, you guys. And because something, I believe that God is going to rescue a bunch of these guys. And anyway, thank you, Matthew. Anything? Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? So, up to my baptism, I've been going through, like, I'd say a good 10 years of depression, on and off, alcoholism, drug use. Not hard drugs, but still drug use. And after being baptized, I started a fast with a few of the men. And since then, I have not smoked any drugs. I have not drank. And that's been since the first. I've completely, like, I tried about a dozen times to quit smoking cigars and cigarettes over the past 10 years. Failed miserably, and I'm pretty strong, like, I'm a strong-willed person, and I just could not do it for the life of me. And the thing is I've not had temptation. It's, like, the grace, it's so hard to explain, but the grace that's come over me, because I've been focusing on God, as Heather has been talking about, it's really about that. It's about, he gives you the strength you need to do what you need to do. You know, you can't focus on your addictions. You got to focus on what is better and what he provides. So that's what I've been doing, and it's honestly, like, so clear-headed nowadays. It's unbelievable. I'm pretty hard on myself, so I've been kind of thinking, why didn't I do this before? Well, I just didn't do that. I wasn't looking at the right, you know, options. This is the only option.
So you're smoke-free. Praise the Lord, yeah. Because I went to those poker games, and just, like, there's a group of you that, you know, every hour, just get up, smoke a big fatty in a bowl full, and the cigar, and just like, well, just like, and you're, and no marijuana, no cigars, and just like, praise the Lord. That's just crazy. I know we're running out of time here, but I want to call on my son Aaron to come up here right now. When I say my son, he's my foster son from 2001, 2002, and 2003, and then he's been involved in our lives for, but we haven't seen him for a long time, actually. But he was in our house when he was 15, 16. He's 35 now. So as many of you prayed for him, prayed for Aaron, when I called out for help in June, July, because I heard his adoptive mom, whole story, she died. And he was just getting to kind of start getting close to her. He's been an alcoholic ever since I remember him. Just like he would be good for 10 days and just disappear. I'd have to go pick him up. I'd have to go drag him out of ditches and places. Like severe, like blood poisoning. I remember hearing that your liver's gone back, you know, a few years back. He's like a 2005, your liver was shot, right? And just like, but I also remember back in about 2010, I'm not sure where I was, but I get a phone call. He's in a basement of a house in Prince George, and he was given one phone call because he says, we'll let you have one phone call, but they had a shotgun in his head. He was delivering stuff, and who he delivered to told the main dealers that he didn't deliver it. They so blamed him, and they were going to kill him unless he came, but he... And so he got one phone call, and I remember he goes, hey, Dad, I have one phone call. This is it. I don't know what to do. They're going to kill me. I said, you better just ask the Lord, turn to the Lord. But he lived. But you've been, you obviously lived out of that. So it's been a rough road. You've been in jail a few times, and you were just on Hastings, right? You were just living down there.
Right down in Hastings, yeah.
And October 30th, you were I'm gonna let you say that. October 30th at 11 o'clock at night, I'm working in my garage on a Friday night, and Aaron messages me and says, I need out off the streets. And so lo and behold, Nicole's husband John Ashby was sleeping at the ferry to come down. And I said, John, 8 hours later, Aaron was in a vehicle on his way here, and he's been here ever since. And you had some addictions going on. What was going on when you showed up here?
I was smoking heroin on Hastings Street, you know, like bad. I had just run into some money, and I was, I was smoking quite a bit of dope. My mother had passed away in about the end of February. In the beginning of May, I had quit drinking. I don't know, that goes hand in hand, I think, somehow. I didn't want to drink anymore. You know, it was, after 20 years of drinking and not even thinking about, you know, not quitting, I wanted to die. You know, I was drinking not to live, I was drinking to die. In 2015, my liver was shutting down. I was in the psych ward because I really wanted to kill myself. You know, I had no will to live. And I really didn't feel that, my life was going anywhere fast. But to come back into the future here, I was addicted to dope. I'm ashamed to say that. I'm ashamed to say that I drank for 20 years. You know, I became a person that I'm not proud of, and I did a lot of things I'm not proud of. But all through that, I know that God's always been with me by my side. Right? Even when I didn't deserve it, even when I didn't deserve it, you know, and I always felt him around. I always felt him near me or just comforting me somehow, even though I wasn't walking the way I should have been walking, right? There's a love and compassion that that's what really brought me back. You know what I mean? And it came through people like you and Heather. Came to everybody that prayed for me, and it's changed everything about me. If you would have seen me years ago, like in 2015 when I wanted to die and when I was going to die, it wouldn't be the same as looking at me today. You know, and I'm so grateful to be here. It's just, I know I'm sweating like a pig right now. I'm really nervous. Thanks for putting me on the spot. But
Well, listen, so you left, you just got out of van. You weren't actually allowed to leave.
No, I wasn't. I'm on probation right now.
Okay. And there was actually a warrant for you.
Yeah, there was. There was a warrant out for my arrest.
But I took you, and you lived with us a couple times, and you lived with Jesse and Leanne in between our places.
Yeah, that's right.
You had to go on Kaden.
Kaden, which is an opiate replacement therapy. It's like methadone, but a little bit stronger.
Are you off that now?
Yes, I am. Amen. I am. It was hell for me, but Christmas Day was when I stopped, and I had wanted to get off of it as soon as I got here. I'd even talked to Larcy a little bit, got some advice from her, and also my doctor was trying to get me to stay on it, right? But as soon as I started feeling better, I just realized, I felt like in my spirit that it was a crutch for me, right? I couldn't honestly say and look somebody in the eye and truthfully say that I wasn't using while I was taking this stuff. You know, it didn't feel right to me. And I spent Christmas with you guys. I was pretty haggard, pretty rough. You know, I had slipped on Christmas Eve. And I got right back on the wagon again. And it was Christmas Day when I quit Cadian. And it was a rough 2 weeks after that. You know what I mean? It was a couple of the worst weeks of my life. But I made it through.
Isn't that awesome? So, but then you got a message from, who was it, the probation officer or who, what? You know, they didn't even know you're here. Because now you can do probation through like Zoom or phone call because it's COVID.
Yeah,
but all
telephone.
Of a sudden, so you had a warrant. Who got a hold of you?
It was actually just one of the duty workers in the probation building. She had told me that my original worker wasn't working that day and that I had to vacate that warrant this last week, by Friday. So it wasn't something I wanted to do.
So I took you to the courthouse Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, yeah.
We prayed.
Yep.
And but it wasn't going to look good. In fact, the lawyer got a hold of me. They said, holy moly. So the Crown wanted to keep you.
Yeah.
But you had faith.
I did. I was, even though I was sitting in that cell, and even though they did, Crown totally sat there and slapped my record on me, slapped my past on me, which sucked. It was depressing reliving those moments that I didn't want to live in the first place, right? And to have come so far from October 31st, even though it wasn't that long, it was long for me. You know what I mean? And to come that far and to have the lawyer and have the Crown, it was hard, in that cell by myself.
They were going to send you back to Vancouver.
They were either Vancouver or Prince George jails.
To wait for trial because you were going to fight it.
Yeah, and I still am.
You actually have to still. So.
Yeah.
But they were going to keep you and the trial would have been?
About a year.
So you would have been gone in jail for a year.
I would have been, yeah.
So we got a call from the lawyer. It's like, hey, it's in bad shape. The Crown wants to send him away. It's like, talk to me. And so we were just going to the leadership meeting. Heather and Larcy do an email to the lawyer. Here's who he is. He's doing his schoolwork. Where I just like, here's, he was in my life 18 years ago. We don't want to lose him now. Anyway, it was just like, and then they let him out of jail.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. I had been praying the entire night before. Didn't get very much sleep. I was, even though I had confidence through prayer and through, talking with the Lord, there's still doubt there. The doubt never disappears. It just gets a little bit easier to deal with when you pray about it. You know what I mean? So I went there that morning and I was confident. I was like, okay, I'm going there. I have a plan in place. I'm doing better. God's got this. you know, even when I don't think I have it. So, yeah, God works that situation. Even in that cell, when I was being hounded by, you know, depression, you know, depressive thoughts, I had to push through, right? I had to believe that God would have his hand in there no matter the outcome, right? And it definitely stretched me, stretched my faith, and it made me stronger in the end, right?
And so now, because when you were with us, you would come to church, but you were never really saved. All throughout the years, 2000s, 2010, but something happened to you the other day. And you got a minute. So tell quickly, just in 60 seconds, tell us what happened and what you ended up saying to me just about that God can have it all now or something. You said something like that. And for the first time, I heard your language change towards God rather than just knowing about God. Is that accurate? Can you just get...
Yeah, I had rededicated my life to God. A couple nights before, I even went to go get rid of my warrant. I had done it in private. I wasn't going to tell anybody. Well, it's just, I don't know. I don't like to gloat about things, especially about myself.
Here you are.
Here I am. Yeah, shut up. No. Just kidding. Yeah, you know, when I rededicated my life to God, that was the most serious thing I've ever done in my life. It wasn't half-assed, sorry for my language, but I want you to know that this is real, right? I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm pretty honest when I talk to people, right? And so, yeah, I didn't do it half-heartedly. I did it wholeheartedly this time, and something just shifted in my entire being, and like my focus, everything has, like my clarity is just, it's there again, but better. You know what I mean? I've had experiences with God, but not like this. You know, last night I was by myself all day yesterday. Spent the day at home doing schoolwork, stuff like that. Last night I sat there worshiping by myself, singing. I was hoping that nobody would walk in on me. I sat there worshiping by myself, singing along to these worship songs at home. And, I'd actually gotten hold of Matthew. I told him about that. And it was nice to be able to do that. And, like, I'm not saying this to get any sort of recognition, right? That was me and God times. And it was healing for me, right? It was something so real in my life that I'm so grateful that I'm alive, you know, and I'm thankful to be here. Thanks. And, you know, I told myself that this year is going to be one of the best years of my life. And I really still believe that, you know. And I hope that it's the best year for everybody's lives. Right? Thank you very much. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Heather wept over Aaron so many times, so many years. So we were foster parents for kids that people, the ministry said, no one else will take them, and you guys, you know, Like, we weren't allowed to, like, hug them, do this to that. But they left us alone. They let us do whatever we wanted because we were somehow, you know. But when Aaron went AWOL and just, like, and Heather just wept and just, like, she was, no one touched my heart like Aaron. So it was so good to have the prodigals coming home and back. So I just thank the Lord. I thank you for your prayers. You guys, we're going to just wrap this up here.